There's one obvious one about posting and praying. And if you gave me the choice of posting 100 times a day, which I know is a lot of the big players will say that you've got to post 100 times a day across different platforms, I would rather post 0 times a day and have 10 genuine conversations per day. Because as human beings, we're social animals, right? We want to interact, we want to connect. And for me, it's if you are doing outreach, for example, we can do outreach in a really cringe way on LinkedIn, but just having a genuine conversation. So, for example, we reconnected this year after a couple of years not catching up, and it's been great. And just having that genuine conversation. Now I'm speaking on your podcast, you're speaking at my event, because we all go through this. We think, okay, I don't want to sit on a Wednesday afternoon thinking, what do I post? If that is our business strategy online, then the business is purely reactive.
You weren't born to sit in traffic, work for approval, or wait for Fridays. You were built to be free. Welcome to Rich and Remote, the show for the ones who dare to do life differently. Here, we talk about building businesses that give you choices, where you work, how you live, and what you create. This is for the entrepreneurs who crave freedom, financial freedom, location freedom, and freedom from everyone else's expectations. If you're ready to design a life on your own terms, you're in the right place. Rich and Remote, hosted by Alex and Carla Booth.
All right, good morning and welcome to Rich and Remote. We have someone today who's very special, a really good friend of mine, and honestly, he lives this life. He lives this rich and remote life in many, many ways. He is the founder of Peaceful Sales. He believes in selling transformations and not just a list or features or certain particular benefits. He has spent decades teaching this to other business owners. He did multiple road shows all over the UK, coaching 100 businesses in 30 days. And he did not even just do this once, he did this twice. I don't know what kind of coffee he's drinking or if he was taking some performance enhancing drugs, but let's try to not get him canceled here. Welcome, Pete Scott. How are
Thank you,
you?
Carla, for having me. And thank you for the reminder of all the craziness that I've done over the years. It's definitely been a few events, which have, we'll talk about, I'm sure, today.
Yeah, and give us an update. Where are you now? What are you doing? And how are you living the rich and remote life?
Thank you. So, yeah, I'm based in Thailand. I've been here for the last 3 years, and it's allowed me to slow down a little bit. And it's also a good challenge because when I was in the UK, I could always lean on the comfort of I can run an event. I used to run sales retreats every 3 months. And walking away from all that was the risk and saying, I will commit to this fully online and not say, okay, well, how do we bring in some more revenues? Let's run another event. Let's do some consulting. And so to truly step into a place where I wanted to be, because this part of the world was always calling in terms of the lifestyle, in terms of being able to slow down. Because, yeah, that's also important that we have that peaceful element, hence my brand, Peaceful Sales.
Yeah, I love it. And I totally resonate with you. And I totally can relate. Every time I go to Thailand, my life is slower because I'm always fatter, eating all the good food. That's the only reason why I'm
Was
slow, because I'm just so heavy. But Thailand is a great place to live a rich and remote life. It's one of my husband and I's favorite countries to go hang out and, see the city. But yeah, you mentioned about your transition going from physical sales or selling something physically in person and moving to selling things online, consulting for companies that sell stuff online. What do you think are maybe one or two of the biggest kind of differences in selling in person versus selling online?
I think it's a great question because, especially in today's market, trust, we have a trust recession right now. And with trust being at an all-time low, what everybody is saying is that face to face, you're going to pick up on the nuances, you're going to pick up on whether you trust this individual or not. And when you take that away, you've got to go deeper. And my experience over the last 3 years of being purely online, particularly at a time where we're in a trust recession, I definitely saw the impact on me personally. I've had to go deeper on my own healing more than anything else because, as I said before, you can build a business that's not you and you can grow that, but sustaining it is a different thing altogether. Sustaining a business that's bringing in profits and by shifting online, you've actually got to go deeper to your truth because people feel that. Right now, speaking, anybody listening now is going to feel whether I'm authentic or not, that they're literally going to feel it through, the podcast itself. So working online, for me, it's a lot more touch points, a lot more, do I really want to do this? I actually reached a point about 18 months ago where I've been teaching sales for 20 years. I'm 44 now. I started when I was geez, actually more than 20 years when I was 21. And I stepped back from everything when I was here in Thailand and said, hold on, is this, I'm doing this and it's making money. I've, you know, done millions of dollars a year, etc. But at the same time, is this something I see myself doing the next 20 years? And because you've got to show up, you've got to stand for something. And yeah, there's so many people that are struggling, right, to sell online because they're focused on their service, they're focused on their product. That standing for something, it can be something simple. But for me, it's about you've got to offer transformation to your client. You've got to actually give a damn about making a difference in their life. Otherwise, they're going to see through that, especially if you're charging thousands of dollars. And you should be able to sell in a peaceful way. So having that driver, and when I stepped back from everything, the message I got through literally just slowing down and saying, do I want to continue this? Was like, yeah, you want to continue it in your way, in a way that makes sense. So yeah, for selling online, that's been big. It's the deeper work, more so on yourself.
That's so true, because being online, being visible online, there's so many things that can distract you. There's vanity metrics. There are certain connections to certain people. There's people that are gossiping about you wherever it is, right? Social media, Reddit, wherever. It depends on how big of a brand you are. But sometimes, you know, more success, more money, or a bigger business doesn't really mean peace. And, you know, I think everyone can agree with me on that. I mean, there's a reason why some of the richest or most famous people are like depressed. So what do you think, aside from, you know, not fully owning their truth and not having done deep work, deep inner work, what do you see in the online world as some of the kind of trickiest mistakes or most common pitfalls that people make when selling something online?
There's one obvious one. They're posting and praying. And if you gave me the choice of posting 100 times a day, which I know is a lot of the big players will say that, you've got to post 100 times a day across different platforms, I would rather post 0 times a day and have 10 genuine conversations per day. Because as human beings, we're social animals, right? We want to interact. We want to connect. And for me, it's if you are doing outreach, for example, we can do outreach in a really cringe way on LinkedIn, but just having a genuine conversation. So for example, we reconnected this year after a couple of years not catching up, and it's been great. And just having that conversation. And now I'm speaking on your podcast, you're speaking at my event. And because we all go through this, we think, okay, I don't want to sit on a Wednesday afternoon thinking, what do I post? If that is our business strategy online, then the business is purely reactive. And again, it comes back to this. Do I want to be going very broad, trying to chat to lots of people, getting my messaging right, exactly right? You can overthink that and hide behind your laptop all day long, or you can step back from that and say, hold on, who's the market that I serve? What is the specific problem that I solve for them? And what's the transformation that's going to occur in their life? Why? And the most important question, why will their life be entirely different within 90 days of working with me? And when you come back to that simplicity, you can say, okay, who are the, not even 10, who are the 5 people that I can add value to today and genuinely reach out to? I'm a big believer in partnering over selling, which is another thing we can talk about. So I'm not reaching out to sell, to pitch, because we've all got those messages on Instagram, you know, like, hey, how's your day today? Like, or I can get you more YouTube views, and just block all those people. But actually, when we look at it and say, who can I partner with? Who's got an audience that I can speak to, that I can potentially add value to? And then we reach out with that sincerity. It makes a big difference. And then you've got to make it fun too. But yeah, for sure, the main pitfall that I'm seeing again and again, and I've fallen into this, there's actually a time, a couple of months, where this is the mistake that I hear when it comes to people who teach sales, is that you've got to set yourself that expectation. So I obviously teach sales transformation. I help my clients with it. They go on and do very well, but that doesn't mean that I'm performing 100% of the time. I'm still going to go through a stage where I go, hold on, I've got a couple of months here. And this was about a year ago where I had 2 months. And I'm like, why is it not working? Mm-hmm. And when I consulted for myself, I realized I'd stepped away from the real life conversations and I was posting. And some of those posts would get a lot of engagement. I'd rather have 0 posts and speak to 5 to 10 people a day.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because of course I'm not a stranger in, you know, how to get things go viral, right? I've done it so many times, but totally agree with you. Not every viral post brings leads, and not every viral post brings the right people into your world. And listening to you now, I actually realize that yes, the viral post may get you some eyeballs, may introduce you to some people who might have not known you before, but they'll still think for themselves. Like, if you are really qualified to help them, and if you are sincere in helping them. And this is why, because I'm doing like the sales calls, basically in my own business, which I also run purely remotely, purely location dependent. When I was trying to be better at sales and I was like buying these courses and oh my God, these grips that they were trying to like, what is that question? If we were to think about 1 year from now and everything worked, oh, I just want to puke. You know, I don't want to do that. I would rather staple my nipples to my knees rather than like read that script. It's so cringe. And I'm so happy I didn't do that because every time I would think of doing that, I lost the sale. I think I lost the sale because I'm not me and I'm not genuine in helping them.
Well, you can only sell from who you are. And the whole peaceful sales concept is that I have a methodology and it's not a script. I ask my clients to practice. They actually practice twice a week. But I remind them again and again, I'm like, I'd rather you go completely off script. Not that there is a script, but you go off the methodology and you talk to a human being. Because when it comes to, the funny thing is, Carla, is that when it comes to real life, we're good at engaging people. We're good at cracking jokes. We're good at being natural. But then when we go to number one selling, we become a completely different animal where we're awkward and over-explaining or asking questions. That I tried to join the gym in the UK a couple of years ago, and I always go back to this story because I went in the gym and I was ready to join. And this is the whole thing. I just wanted to go there and join. My background is I was a personal trainer for 10 years, so I didn't need to know anything. I like the gym. It's in the right location. And the guy did their sales training, and he said, what's your goal? With what do you want to achieve in 6 months from now? And I'm like, I just want to join the gym. Right now, my goal is to pay you. And then go to my meeting. And he almost lost the sale on the basis that he was following a script. So it's humanizing the whole element. But the second thing is that when it comes to online, we lose who we are even further. So, you know, the whole thing of trying to sell online is almost like a double negative in that sense. But yeah, it comes back to, if you were to ask yourself, like, who is the real me? What's the way that I like to sell? If I could sell my product or the transformation, okay, if I could create a transformation in my client's life, how would I want to go about selling that? What would be fun for me? So for example, when I got myself at that couple of months where the revenue went down, and I live in Chiang Mai, like there's 1,000 coffee shops. It's easy to be semi-retired here. Everybody is retired here. So you can be a prize fighter, right? And then you come to Chiang Mai and you get lazy, you get fat, and I'm like, okay, I need to get back on the business.
Yeah.
Because I always look at it like this. What is the fastest way that you can get a client in the next 5 days? And the fastest way is to say, well, I hate all the outreach, but let's say I have to connect with more people. Well, how do I make it fun for me? What's my modality of doing it? So for me, my strength is video. And my strength is what I call honest marketing, right? I've sent videos to, for example, on LinkedIn. I went through a phase where I'll just send videos and be like, hey, by the way, this is a blatant pitch. I've seen your company. I've seen what you're doing. This is my background, but I just want to connect. And by doing that even five times a day with five different selected ideal clients, that can bring in thousands in revenue. So it's knowing what's right for you. And I get a lot of clients that have come through that work for other coaches, and they're like, well, I've been told I need to be on Instagram. I'm like, do you even like Instagram? I need to post 100 times a day. Do you like posting on social media? No, I hate it. Okay, well, it's one of two things. Either number one, it's fear, and we just got to push through that. That's fine. Or number two, it's not you, and that's okay. And a lot of physical businesses don't even need to be on social. Excuse me, what I'm going to say, right? But they don't need to be on social media.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
Take a look around, and within 2 miles, you've got maybe $1 million in business a year.
Yeah, Walmart. Walmart doesn't need to be on social media. Who cares? Yeah. Exactly. These pharmacies, they don't have Instagram. They don't post reels about paracetamol. Like, who cares? I actually met some really smart kids. I call them kids because they're in their early 20s. They started a new business. It's an AI automation company. And like 3 months ago. And then I was curious, like, you know, how's everything going? And they said they're like at 20 to 30K MRR. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, what are you guys doing? These guys are like way younger than me. So I was like, tell me what you're doing. And they were like cold calling. And I was like, what? You're cold calling? That is hardcore. But they're young and they're brutal. And I said, what's your script? Like, I was ready to like, I'm just going to copy your script. I'm going to do this. And she said that they actually make the girl, it's a couple, they make the girl cold call because girls, apparently, you know, people's guards are more down when it's a girl. And then the girl literally opens and says, hey, is this Pete of something car wash? Yeah. Well, this is a cold call. Are you okay with that? I'm going to pitch you right now. And most of the time they say yes. And they are actually respectful and they let her talk. Yeah, I don't like that. It's insane. And then she asked me, she looked at me in the eye and she said, "Would you do it?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. I had all these excuses." But then again, it's what you said. It wasn't me. It does not feel like me. But having fun on social media, posting my jokes, my memes, whatever, that is me. And I feel like maybe that's also why it's working.
The whole thing is objections don't come from the client. They come from us. Pressure is from ourselves. We're feeling the pressure to sell so that the client unconsciously picks it up from us. And then that's why they lose trust. So you've got to find your way. It all started for me as a personal trainer where I was expected to hit like $5,000 a week in revenues, in like $100 a week. And the company tried to teach, they were like, you've got to do it this way. You've got to, and it's very American. I worked for an American company in the cruise line industry. So I was working on ships and it was hardcore and it wasn't me. And then I had a different manager come in. He's like, Pete, you've got all the energy and you actually care. So just focus on how can you change their life? If you've got a client and they're going to work with you, why is their life going to be different? And that was the very basis of where everything began. And so for me, I just focused that way. And that's how I went to top of the company over the next few months and then went into head office and all the sales training began there. But yeah, for sure, you've got to ask, like, okay, if I'm going to kind of get a client by the end of this week, who's my market? What's the most fun way that I can reach out to them?
Fun way, yeah.
Because I reached a place, this all happened over the last few years. You know that I had like crazy symptoms for years after having COVID. So I don't know if it's some weird long COVID or whatever. But I also realized how the symptoms flared up through stress and anxiety.
Yes, I agree.
You know, you can push a business. I grew my business to $1 million a year, but I built it based upon pushing. And I'm like, I refuse to work from stress and anxiety. And the whole online space, what I love about it, it's not, I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but it's not about how good you are. And I've asked that question. I'm like, you know what? I've worked at the biggest brands in the world, like these big multi-billion dollar companies that brought me in years. And they've flown me all over the world. And I can't get somebody to buy online. It's going back to like 2018. And then I realized it's because, well, people are buying into you. They're buying into, you know, who you are. And it off in any sense. And we feel it on social media. We feel when somebody's faking it. We feel when they're following. Yeah, but you need that combination of being able to go really deep on a particular topic. So the whole saying of you only need to talk about, I really only talk about two or three things, but I've got 1,000 different ways to talk about it. That's the depth that you want. You want to be a master in your craft. And you don't need to talk about 1,000 different things. But then also, sorry, most people have only got two or three things. They've got 1,000 things they want to talk about, but only one or two ways to talk about it, right? Have that depth. Also, don't be afraid to bring your personality to it because people are buying into you too.
I have a question. So, for example, for someone who is listening to this and they're like, "Oh, I just got to be myself." But what if I'm not very confident? Or what if I'm not a very high EQ person? I'm not naturally extroverted. I don't have the gift of gab. Like, what do you suggest for people like that? Like, they're too scared to even approach a girl in person.
Well, if you're going to change your life and build a business, you've got to practice. Practice makes permanent.
Practice. Yeah.
There's no getting around it. I mean, I'm actually a huge introvert. I'm an extroverted introvert. For me, I've seen many of my clients that they're salon owners and beauty therapists, a lot of them. They don't want to do anything. And I'm like, well, the question is, how badly do you want to help people? And this is why you also have to sell something that you truly believe in. And you're better off if selling one thing that changes your client's life. Okay, so for me, when it comes to peaceful sales, I'm excited to sell that every single day. So there's no objection. Objection doesn't exist because the desire to help significantly outweighs any insecurity that I have.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, if your insecurities are bigger than your desire to make a change in somebody's life, you've got the wrong offer, right? It can be the wrong offer. You don't believe in it. But then, okay, so what if you say, well, I do believe in it, cool. You'll practice it. You're going to practice your conversations. That's why my clients practice two, three times a week. They hold sessions. I'm not even on the calls. Because I talk too much, I interrupt them and I pick up too many. I'm like, stop there, just change this thing. Whereas they practice together and we do co-working sessions where they make money on the call. That's the whole goal, right? So, because I realize that I do Monday to Friday calls with my clients as a group. And I got to a point where I'm like, they're in their comfort zone listening to me. And every day was almost like a masterclass. I'm like, guys, we need to actually create change here. So I'm going to put the pressure on you. If you want to learn, you got to do. You can't learn tennis by listening to the instructor coach. So we do practice sessions twice a week. We do two co-working sessions per week. And then I do like a masterclass once a week.
I
So
love
they
that.
get
This is in peaceful sales inside the community.
pretty in peaceful sense.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, and it works. So I had one of my clients like a month ago, and she was on the call. And this is a really important thing as well, is that the whole, like a deeper principle of what I teach is that business goes where it's invited, it stays where it's looked after, right? Mm-hmm. And that means the best clients are not new ones. They're the ones you've already got. So I always have my top three clients on a whiteboard. I've got it right now next to me. I've literally got it on a whiteboard. And I will reach out to them and say, hey, Carla, I've been thinking about you. I know we're doing some great work already together. But I believe that there's a way that we can achieve even better results. If you want to have a chat, let's do it. Hand on heart, that can bring in 20, 30,000 a month with current clients.
Yeah.
It's knowing that you 100% believe in what you're selling.
Yeah.
And then you practice it, you practice it. And going back to my client, she was able to reach out to one of her current clients on this call. Because I said at the beginning of the call, okay, what are you doing? You're here for an hour. Sometimes we do a 2-hour co-working. And she said, okay, I've got three clients that I can reach out to because I can create a bigger change for them. And
right.
He came back and, oh my goodness, they've just agreed another $1,000 a month. That's 12,000.
Oh my God. Yeah, right. That's crazy. Yeah.
And I asked her at the end of the call, I said, would you have done that? And she said, never. Because she said, I wouldn't have been brave enough to do it without having the accountability. So there's that as well. You know, don't work in a vacuum. Like, don't work in isolation. Isolation's dangerous. You can do it short term. But yeah, in terms of, for me, I actually started in the corporate sector by doing research calls because I hated cold calling. Hey, bit of a different call for you. I've just quit my job. I'm wondering if you can help me. I've literally quit my job and I've set up as a sales trainer. I'm purely doing research right now with marketing agencies or construction companies. I'm seeing that you've got 2,000 staff. I was wondering, do you do any sales training for your staff? And if you do, do you work with external sales trainers or do you do it all in-house? And they'd be like, oh, you need to speak to Carla. Who's Carla? She heads up HR. Oh, can you put me through to Carla? And so researching the market was far more effective than, for me, I don't want to call and pitch. And I was watching all the YouTube videos. This is like way back in 2012 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I can't sell this way. I can't call and be like, put me through to Steve. You know, this is shot from blah, blah, blah. I can't.
Yeah. Even my friend who was like, yeah, because you're a girl, it's so much going to be easier for you. And, you know, people will have their guards down. And I'm like, ugh, it just doesn't feel like me. I'll probably laugh in the middle because I'm just so uncomfortable. I'll just start laughing. And then, you know, I will have lost the sale. But I really like what you shared about practice. It's really so underrated. A lot of people, after they watch one training or go to one conference or whatever, they feel like they're like the Wolf of Wall Street, but it doesn't really happen that way. And another thing I want to add also is one thing that also worked for me is genuine love and care for your customer, even if it means turning them away, or even if it's like not working with them, saying no, even if they're asking, what do you have right now? Like, sometimes they're just in a mood to buy, but if I genuinely believe that it wouldn't help them or it's not the right time, I send them to a consultant or I just say, hey, you need to do A, B, and C before we start working together. This is my genuine, like, you know, advice.
I hosted an online 6-hour workshop last week, which is immensely long for online.
Wow. Yeah.
A couple hundred people in Malaysia, Singapore. And what I noticed is that the entire energy of the room, I say room, everyone on the call, they were saying, I said, what do you want to get from this? And they all said, I want to close people. And I removed the language entirely. I said, look, sales is not about closing. It's about confirming. You can't close somebody. Like, think about the psychology that you're placing on yourself and the pressure that you're putting on yourself. When I think of closing somebody, it just sounds so cringe. It's so old school. I think of a 1995 secondhand car salesperson pushing and convincing for the sale. Where actually what you're doing, sales is a great conversation. And the bigger the conversation that you're willing to have, and the more that you're able to talk about changing that client's life and ask great questions that get them to think, the more they're going to be open to it. But the client closes the sale. You don't close it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that means that also the whole terminology of closing means it's you versus them. You work as a team. We're going to talk about that you want to transform your sales. And if you don't mind, I'll share a little bit more in depth about how I work. And then what we'll do is I'll ask you some questions. We'll go deep on some stuff maybe you've not thought about before. And then at the end, we can decide if this is for you or not. And by the way, I want you to know that it's entirely your decision. You know, if it's a yes or a no, it's called by me as well.
Yeah, exactly. And full presence on the call. I think if you come into the call saying, oh, I got to close this, I got to make my numbers, I got to make my targets, whatever, you're not fully present because you're thinking about the numbers, you're thinking about your quota or something. So you're not helping them and you don't have genuine love and care. Like, that's what I always say. It's part of our core values. Genuine love and care for the customer and ask, operating in the best interest of the customer. And honestly, at the end of the day, even if they say no, and even if you didn't close it, If you had a good interaction, they're going to remember you, they're going to refer. Or 2 years from now, this has happened to me so many times. 2 years from now, they email me, "Hey, Carla, I'm ready to hire a project manager." And I'm like, "Well, we already increased our prices, but welcome, welcome back."
My biggest client ever took 2.5 years to come through. And we kept the communication lines open. I was checking in on them, but it's not a win or lose game. It's we want them to win, we want them to succeed. Whether they work with me or not, that's entirely up to them. And you also, he will lack confidence when it comes to finding a girlfriend, because if he feels that there's only one potential partner, or the same vice versa,
That's
anybody
right.
trying to find a life partner, if you think, oh my goodness, there's no girls and there's no guys, well, okay, good luck with that. If you say, I know that there's hundreds of girls or guys available for me, upset if one says no. But for me, and this is something that I share with my clients almost weekly, you have to care about helping your client with every cell in your body in the space between those cells, or your heart, every, and equally, and this is the duality, not give a fuck if they say yes or no. Because everybody talks about helping and having this deep level of care until the client throws an objection. And they're too attached to the outcome. That space where you're like, I want to help you, Carla. I'm going to be completely present with you. I want to help you with my heart, every cell in my body, but also I'm genuinely not attached to the outcome. That's where the floodgates open up when it comes to sales. Again, if your need to make a sale is greater than the client's need and desire to change, they'll pick up that icky energy from you.
Energy. Yes, exactly. And that's why I believe in the inner work, right? Going back to the inner work, you need that inner work to have both self-confidence and self-esteem to believe that even if they say no, it has nothing to do with your offer or who you are as a person. And if you feel like you genuinely brought everything and you helped them to the best of your knowledge, honestly, even if they said no, you still succeeded because you helped them. You went into that call for that intention. And if you want to be strategic about it, sure, you can have unique follow-up emails. You can follow up uniquely. You can send a gift. There's so many ways so that they keep thinking of you. And I always say to my team, like, a no is not always a no. It's a not right now or a not for me, but I know someone. So always keep the interaction positive. And if you can, be memorable. Like, do something that will make them remember you. I think that's my one like tactical thing that I can contribute.
I was working purely in the corporate sector. It's amazing. I was being flown all over the world. I was in New York, places like Ghana, and all these places I'd never go to. I was posting online and trying to do what everybody else was doing and not really getting anywhere, especially because I teach sales, which isn't a desirable skill. Nobody wants to identify as a salesperson. So I'm actually teaching something that's a necessary evil in most people's eyes. And they loved that I was consulting. But so I was like, I need to connect with my audience. And I thought, what can I do that the rest of my industry hasn't got the courage to do, or they're too lazy? Or they haven't got the resources, right? So I was like, I'm just going to go meet 100 different business owners in their business. So I put out one Facebook post and I said, I'm going to do something. This is like going back to 2019. So things have changed since then. But I said, I'm going to do something crazy. I just want to help you. So I'm going to help 100 business owners for free, and more so than they like to drive and meet all of you at over 30 days. Thing is, and I'm strict on this even to today, everything I do is application. For me, it's all about fit, not trying to get somebody to buy. So everything has to be application. So I said, apply here. And I documented the entire process. I've still got a few YouTube videos on this, actually,
Oh,
from
that's so fun.
this is fun. Yeah. I was with my long-term ex-partner, who I'm still friends with today. But she did a brilliant job of the whole marketing side of it. And I think I had 680 applicants overnight, because people felt that sincerity, that this guy's crazy enough to. And a lot of people applied and they said, what's your reason like for doing this? And they're like, I just want to see if you can actually pull this off. They're like, are you really gonna? And went to Scotland, went over to Ireland, went all over the UK. And then to top it off, every morning I did an accountability call on a Facebook Live in a private group, and every night we did a Zoom call 7 days a week. It was crazy.
That's
But
crazy.
it catapulted me into the online world. Because I went from not being able to make any revenue. We did 70 grand in revenue from that, just from the launch. And then I never looked back after that. And I became that guy that drove all over the UK. And then a few years later, I bought myself a Porsche. And I thought to put a rooftop tent on a Porsche,
My God.
Porsche for the day. And they did a photo shoot and they backed it all. Now they do their own rooftop tent, which is like 8 times the money of what I paid for mine. But yeah, I drove
Should
all
have
the.
patented it.
Yeah, so it was crazy, but these are the things you've got to ask yourself. Like, if I really care, surely I'm going to do stuff that people. Because when we look at competitors and we go, oh, they're copying me, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the world that we live in. So do something that's you, that's fun, that's crazy, and that you've got to show your care. That's the main thing. I've got a quick question, I guess, for anybody listening that I think is super helpful. Just like, how can we qualify ourselves that we actually care? If you're down to your last dollar, you've got to eat rice and maybe eggs. Okay, maybe just rice. Let's take away the kind of protein, right? You just got to live with rice the next 6 months. You're down to your last dollar. You don't know how you're going to pay rent. And I appreciate this is a nuanced question, but let's just look at it, you know, straight up. And you sit down with a potential client, and that client is so wrong and such a red flag. And you know, if you take them on board, they are going to cause you just so much stress, right? They couldn't be more wrong, but they're going to pay you $10,000 right now. What would you do? Would you take on the client knowing that you needed the money and that's why you took them on? Or would you say, hey, Carla, it's been so great to meet you. I feel right now with where you're at, we're probably not the right fit, but I do recommend X or Y.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to force an answer. And I appreciate that somebody's got kids to feed and all that. Sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do, but it's a very powerful question because that shows your true intent. The funny thing is, I learned the more I'm willing to say no to the wrong client, the more I started making a lot more money with the right clients because it's an energy.
Yes, exactly. It's like being single, right? So a lot of, especially girls, because we're so concerned about feeling beautiful, feeling desired, feeling attractive, a lot of girls end up dating these stupid guys that don't have the best intentions just so they feel desired. But then the more energy they give these losers, they're not giving space for the right guy to come in their lives because all of that's occupying their time and their toxicity and everything. But actually, I was reflecting on your question personally. Now, maybe like you said, it's a very nuanced question. Like now I would jokingly say, I'll use my credit card. I'll still eat somewhere I want to eat. Think about my bills later. But no, genuinely, like now I think I would rather starve because I can do it. I can sleep through hunger. Actually, genuinely, I can sleep through hunger. But I've had my last toxic client. I remember this very, I remember him. I remember his full name. I remember his face. And I remember actually when he was being so toxic to me and my team, I actually randomly ran a background check on him, which is I didn't used to do, but now I background check all of my clients. And I found some assault cases from this guy. Yeah. So this is a real, real, real bad person. And so from then on, I told my sales team, like, let's run background checks on our clients. And I also tell my team, first of all, I tell my CSMs, even if they're already clients, if they're not treating you well, tell me, we can fire them as clients. If a client on a sales call is being sexist towards me or saying something like, I just feel like they're not going to be a good client, I do my best not to throw the sales call, but I will tell my team, do not follow up, just lose this guy's number or email. And or I tell him we're so busy right now. And then I would tell him an exorbitant deposit to work with us so that he would say no.
Super smart. It's just not worth it. You know, a TikTok video that I posted a couple of years ago popped up as a memory yesterday. It reminded me because I was going through this health stuff, particularly at that time. And I said, if a client affects your health, they're not the right client.
No, and stress causes cancer.
Just to feel shitty about your business isn't right. You're meant to, you know, you set up your business because it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be profitable. And you're better off working with less clients, adding more value. And I'm like you, Carla. For me, I'd rather have one client that I love to work with.
That you love, yeah.
Fun and I'm making good money with them and we're a team, we're working together and then chasing, you know, 1,000 different clients. And yeah. I think that's, you know, selling online, focusing on like, I want less clients. I don't want a full diary. I want to empty my diary because I'm not doing this to be fully booked. I'm doing it to actually free my life.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like you started the business, you took the risks, you worked this hard to not be like, you know, not have a conventional life. You made all these sacrifices not to suffer. Like we're not going to come here and be naive. Yes, the first few years of your business is hard. It's hard work. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of like low months, but you're right. At the end of the day, if it's not, it doesn't feel real, then you also wouldn't help the people you're supposed to help. And because of that, it still wouldn't work, right? And so let's talk about peaceful sales. Thank you so much. We could go forever and ever talking about this, Pete. I feel like, you know, you and I, we just really jive on what we believe in sales and how that relates to life. And oh, quick shout out, shameless plug, Pete Scott's book, Sales Energetics. I actually felt guilty because he kept asking me, have you finished the book? Have you finished the book? I finished it slowly. Let me tell you guys, because it was that good. I'm not lying, like at all. It's one of those books you read slow because I needed to reflect on some things. And I needed to also kind of, I went through this emotional journey of giving myself a pat on the back. And also, like, because of the work I've done on myself and in sales, and also fully like receiving from Pete's like generosity in that book. So definitely check that book out. But I want to make a special invitation to everyone listening. Peaceful Sales. Peaceful Sales has a 1-year membership. Pete Scott shared a little bit about it. There's a lot of lessons. There's a very helpful community there. You can do all the practice there. You can do co-working. But in your words, Pete, I don't want to mess this for you. Yeah,
Appreciate it.
invite our friends to Peaceful Sales because I'm a huge believer. I am in the community too, guys. So I'm a
Yeah.
believer in Peaceful Sales.
I feel the best way is by asking the question, how do you want your business to look in terms of how you sell and market your expertise and the solutions to clients? Are you in a position where you want to be chasing clients or you want to be offering real change and transfer? So for me, it's all about if you can offer one transformation, one thing, one change. And then from there, you can reverse engineer. Well, what's the most fun and peaceful way that I can sell this? It shouldn't be easy. This is an important nuance again. Sometimes we think, oh, I want easy. Easy is kind of entitled, right? Like, it should be effortless. In order for it to be effortless, we need to put the foundations in place. There's the science and the art. The art is more the peaceful, the energetics, the I want to feel good when I'm selling. So I talk about in the book that I brainwash myself to only feel good because I realize that if I'm stressed, I'm anxious. There's an energetic transfer with the products and services that you sell. I want to sell calm. I want to sell happiness. I want to sell all these good things. So the art side of it is that, but then you still need the science. You need the foundations in place. You need a sales process. So usually if you're not selling or you're not generating leads, there's a break in the chain, right? So what's your sales process like? So we lay down those foundations and then we build upon that. Based upon both the science and the art. And it's strange because in a market where, and I had a mentor that suggested this to me, she said, Pete, I believe that you're offering far too much. I think she said in the
I believe
market,
it.
they're all like zoomed out and they don't want to be on calls. And I'm like, but it doesn't feel like me. That's not me. I can't wait around. I get anxiety thinking my clients haven't got a call for another 2 weeks. The opposite, which is, it sounds contradictory to peaceful sales, but I'm like, I want Monday to Friday calls available that they can just hop on, almost like having, swim classes that you can attend, right? Like, okay, you can
Or like
move.
those little dance classes at the gym,
Exactly. And I'm like, no one's doing it this way. They're not all hosted by me, for sure, because it would just, again, I would talk too much because that's my way of my comfort zone adding value. But I do go on calls and I go, all right, Carly, you're going to practice in front of everybody. And we allow people to break through those like fears and worries that they have. And get feedback in a safe environment. So, quick example on this: last week we hosted a practice. I got one of my clients to go through it, one of the members in the community, and she said, "Oh my goodness, this has been amazing." Because she became robotic, and then she justified it and said, "Yeah, but Pete, I'm not like this in real life." And I'm like, "In practice is where you want to be able to get it exactly right." And I said, "Look, when you hear me practice, do I sound robotic?" She's like, "No, you just because I go into role play all the time." I'm like, "Okay, boom." And they're like, "How do you do that?" I'm like, "Because I've practiced." You practice until you can't get it wrong, until it becomes your identity. And straight after the call, she had a client. She made a £3,500, which is like a $5,000. So, oh my goodness, I just humanized it. So, yeah, that's the whole dynamic. And then there's more training and resources available that you can just go through on your own term. Like, there's over 100 hours. Not that anybody needs that. But if you're like, okay, I want to up my lead generation or come up with new strategies, it's all there. We have an amazing community. We're growing all the time and it's application. So, we have a simple application for everybody to come in.
And so I'm going to share a link here in the show notes to Peaceful Sales. You're going to find me there. It's a year-long membership, so there's a lot of time. You don't need to pressure yourself. You don't need to like immediately join and become the Wolf of Wall Street. Like there's no pressure like that. You can be yourself. You can check out the lessons, check out the co-working. And what is the investment, Pete?
$1,900 for the year. That's my peaceful way. You don't do payment plans? No, because we want you to come in and make the investment, and then you've got an entire year one sale at a couple of $1,000s, everything else is, you know, it is profit.
Yeah. Basically, you go at your own pace. And I remember a funny joke, actually, when someone asked, what is the payment plan? And the guy replied, you pay me, that's the plan. So, but yeah, 1 year is already very generous. Honestly, that's like what? That's 100 plus a month. And if you're selling something, it's really valuable, causes real transformation. A lot of people are willing to pay hundreds, thousands of dollars for that. It's really a no-brainer. But anyway, check it out and check out what other people are saying. And if you want to ask me personally as well, I'm happy to give what was the most important thing for me being inside this community. I really trust Pete a lot, and that's why I gave him space to talk to you guys and be in this podcast. I don't just give away this pod to anyone. It's only the people I trust and I highly respect. So thank you so much, Pete, for giving
Thank
us
you so
your
much.
time all the way from Chiang Mai.
Top in the cloud.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to Rich and Remote, where freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision. This is Carla.
This is Alex Booth.
And this is our journey to our dream, rich, and remote life.
If this episode inspired you, share with a friend who's ready to live life differently too. This is perfect for entrepreneurs who crave financial freedom, location freedom, and freedom from the opinions of others.
And don't forget to leave a quick review. It helps more freedom seekers find this show. Big thanks to our sponsors, Huckleberry Consulting, GetCSM, and Proximity Outsourcing.
See you in the next episode, and check out our online hangout spot, richandremote.com.